Let us pray. God, we thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here today. We pray, Lord, as we begin to listen to the word today, that you would send your spirit upon us in power, that you begin to give us comfort and strength and hope and encouragement and discernment as we go through life. And as we begin to talk some more about this leading like Jesus, that you would give us these tools, Lord, and give us these ideas, give us this word from you that helps us as we go through life. And so we pray that today, knowing that you hear us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said... So the Bible says very clearly in Proverbs 13, it says this line, it says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, and whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. If you think that for a little bit, I think it shares something pretty powerful with us. It says that who we hang out with matters, doesn't it? It says that the people that we connect with on a regular basis, well, they affect us. They pass things on to us. They pass stuff on like values and dreams and goals and convictions. They pass on their habits. We just learn from other people. We take from some of the stuff that they believe. We assimilate them and we can't have it. I read one place that if you want to know what you're going to be like in about 10 years, look at the people you're hanging out with. It's kind of a startling kind of reality, but we do become more and more like the people that we gravitate toward. So I tell my kids all the time, I say, watch who you hang out with, because you become like the people that you hang around. They don't always like to hear that, right? But it's true, and it's what God says. And it's not just an age thing. It's for adults, too. We absolutely become like the people we hang around. And so my message today, or at least the thing that I want to do, is I want you guys all to take a faith step with me this morning. And I say that because it's going to absolutely require faith for you to take this step forward. And what I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask you to take your relationships deeper, to a deeper level, to go on a kind of a relational adventure. And this is going to be quite new for a lot of you this morning. And here's why I think that. I think one of the great illusions that we live with in our culture today is that we think higher of our relationships than they actually are, especially in this age of social media, right? In fact, one of the great illusions that we live under is that we always think more of our relationships than they actually are. Mike, when he was studying for his master's degree in popular culture, youth culture, he was studying social media, and one of the illustrations they gave, I guess as a result of a bunch of studies, is you know how people can have thousands of friends on Facebook, and you literally are just surrounded, and when things are going great, people are always saying, hey, that's great, they're liking your stuff. I mean, you're very popular with all these people that kind of chime in on how amazing things are going for you. But they noticed that when kids had something really bad happen in their life, going through a huge, difficult time, that almost all those people dissipated. And that it was hard for them even to find one person that really cared about the stuff that they were going through. Just the reality today is that we often think more of our relationships than they are. And so I want to challenge you to do this, at least for a minute, right? To take a step back and say, is this friendship, is this relationship as significant as I really think it is? And I want to challenge you in this. And I want to do that because I was challenged in this several years ago with a very personal example. For those of you who are here, you kind of know the story, but when my oldest daughter was in kindergarten, we found out that she had a brain tumor the size of like a tennis ball in the back of her head. And we went to the doctor, and the same day they got us into a surgeon. It was kind of a miraculous thing, but that was awesome. And then the next morning we were in ICU in the children's Phoenix Children's Hospital. And as you can imagine, that was a really hard time for our family. Difficult for me, difficult for my wife, for my parents, everybody. And praise be to God, they got the tumor out, didn't suffer any kind of harm. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But I made an amazing discovery as I was going through that. And I mean, going in, I would tell you, I have hundreds of friends. And weirdly, I was known by thousands more because of the churches that I've been a part of in the past. I mean, but as I was going through that experience, other than family, I really didn't know who else to call. Because all of my non-family relationships, these friends, they just all seemed a little too superficial for the gut-wrenching pain that I was going through. I mean, how do you start talking to somebody when all you can do is cry? How do you share with them the level of fear and anxiety and worry that you're struggling with as she's going into surgery? And there's a realization that I made. I mean, I'm walking with a ton of people, but I wasn't journeying through life with anybody outside of my family at that point. And so what I realized is I needed more significant relationships in my life. And I needed, and the reality is we all need, more significant relationships in our life. People that are honest and genuine and real. mean, these are the kind of significant relationships that we need. And the reason for that is that God's wired us that way. I mean, we absolutely need people that we can connect with. It's why we feel things at that deeper level, which probably makes for one of the best Father's Day messages I could possibly get, because guys struggle at this especially. We stink, really, at getting beyond the surface for a lot of different reasons. But anyway, what are these significant relationships that I'm talking about? I want to kind of define it for you so I give you a picture of what this looks like. These are the people that you can call at any time. The ones that you can visit with no warning and without apology. The ones that you take vacations with. The ones that you can drop your kids off at their house and not feel weird about it. These are the people that you do life with together. Now, you hear me encourage small groups from time to time, but I'm telling you, when small groups go right, these are the kind of relationships that you get in those small groups. You get a group of people that care for you. And I know you guys don't all hear the stories. I get to hear a bunch because I'm a pastor, but I'm blown away by the kinds of care that these small groups give for each other in our church. When they're in the hospital, they're there like every day. They're mowing your lawn. They're bringing you meals. It's incredible the kind of stuff that they're doing with you. They're going on vacations together. They're doing all sorts of stuff. And there's a difference, isn't there, between having friends and journeying through life together? There absolutely is. And at the end of life, my hope is all of us can have those relationships where we can stand and we can say, I am known, I feel loved, I feel celebrated, I feel served. And those are the kind of relationships that I'm talking about today. But who exactly are those people? I mean, what do they look like, right? Because in every way, this is part of leading like Jesus, because the people that we surround ourselves with, well, they matter. So again, who are these people? One of the first things is there are people who motivate your character. I saw a cartoon. It's not a funny cartoon, but I saw a cartoon the other day. Homeless guy laying in the street. Somebody walks by and the homeless guy says, I'm here because I lost all of my motivational tapes, right? And it's kind of a weird thing, but I think it illustrates an issue for a lot of us. We're always looking for that next area of motivation in our life. The next bestseller, maybe that has something that can encourage me and get me going in life and just get me out of my funk. The next sermon, maybe that's the thing that's just going to get me going and start living the life that I know I need to be living. I just need that encouragement. And the reason why you feel that way is because there's something deep down inside of you that God has put there that craves encouragement as you're going through life, that seeks to be more than you are. So in your relationships, one of the things I want you to ask is, who are the people that when I'm around them, I feel like I can take on the world, that make me want to change for the better, that when I'm with them, it does something to my character that makes me want to be different? My buddy, and I know sometimes I share a buddy and you always think it's me. It's not me, right? These are not me. I do have buddies. Two of them. But anyway, the reality is, so I have a buddy who goes to the gym. And he says, there's this guy at the gym, the most encouraging guy I've ever met in my life. He goes, I go in there and I might be down or whatever, but he's so encouraging. I leave like I could take on the world. I leave, though, thinking I want to become who that guy thinks I am. And I think that's awesome. I think everybody should have a friend like that because it just makes you feel like you could do anything. I want you to converse that, right, with another buddy of mine that I talk to on the phone from time to time, and he is just negative and grumpy, and everything's wrong with the world, and everything wrong on TV, and everything's wrong with his girl's school, and everything, I mean, just everything's wrong. And I get off the phone with him, and I'm motivated, right, but maybe to run for office or something like that because I'm just angry and grumpy about everything. But it goes to a whole point that who you hang out with can either lift you up or they can bring you down. There's people, I promise, in your life, when you pick up the phone, you hear them, part of you goes, oh, this is going to be a long conversation. And there's other people in your life with it, when you get off the phone, you're like, man, I am so glad they called. That was so much fun reconnecting with them. So when in your relationships, one of the things that you need to ask is, who are those people that when I'm around them, they make me better? Right? These people also look like this. They're people that value your soul. They're the people that listen, the people that hear your heart, where it's safe to reveal who you are, where it's safe to open up your inner life, to share your dreams and your hurts and your fears. I think it's a sad statement today in our society. It says that a new recent study said over 60% of the people that use the internet today use it exclusively on social media. And that number, I'm sure, is just rising. And I'm not on social media for a lot of different reasons, and you can hate me for it, like me for it, I don't know. I think my life's simpler as a result, but you can disagree with me. But my daughter, she shares all these things, and they have these things on Facebook, I guess, where you can share your story. And a lot of people write in the most intimate things, and they put them on this thing, hoping that somebody responds, I guess, in a positive way. And I'm just here to share this. I think it's sad today that that's happening, because people are trading their hearts for a computer screen instead of trading their hearts with people that will care for it. And I know the loneliness is out there so much so that people just don't feel like they have a venue to share those things, so they go online hoping that somebody responds to them in a positive way, hoping that they get some of what they're looking for. But it's not super healthy. A quote that says, the internet is bringing people together to do a lot more than exchanging sales. We're trading hearts. But I don't want to trade my heart with a computer screen. I want to trade it with somebody that I know is going to care for me. It's going to be there and listen. It's going to love me even when I blow it. And the Bible says that when you do that, right, there's healing. And James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Heard a sermon one time. The pastor was talking about this. I think it's a neat example. And he was just sharing something personal, and so I'm going to read it. So I got a critical letter this week. I've gotten hundreds of critical letters over the years, people telling me what they think I ought to say and do and wear and how I should wear my hair. I get crazy letters, he says. But this wasn't a crazy letter. This was a letter that went after my character. This person basically, in essence, called me a liar. And I don't know who the person is. They go to the church. I know the name, but that's not the point. The point was that I was wounded. I felt so misunderstood. I'm trying to put this message together, and I couldn't shake the pain. I was saying, God, could you get this away from me? I don't want to think about this anymore. It's just not true. But I couldn't shake it, so I called a friend. And he listened, and he didn't try to fix it. He just listened, and as I felt vulnerable walking through the process of the pain, he heard me. He talked a little bit about the spiritual attacks that he feels when he was putting a message together. But as we were talking, my anger became compassion, and my discouragement actually became encouragement, and I was healed. It was one of those things, when I hung up the phone, I just said, thank you, God, for this friend. The thing is that God uses people to impact your life. So the question is, do you have somebody in your life that values your soul? These people look like one more thing. These people are ones that praise your journey. You know, the person sitting next to you, they may look very different than you, be very different. They may have more money, less money. They may live in a different area than you, all sorts of different things. It's true. And you may be very different in so many different ways, but there's one thing that you absolutely have in common. You are craving encouragement in your life right now. Never met anybody in my life that says, stop encouraging me. I just can't take it anymore. Stop saying all those nice things. It's just too much. I've just never met that person. Why? Because we're dying for it. Because there's so few good encouragers in our world today. But I will say, for some of you, you guys are awesome at it. I mean, you see somebody, you look them right in the eyes, and you tell them this amazing thing about them, and it impacts them. God uses it in a powerful way to lift them up for a day or for a week or for a month. It's extraordinary, the power of a timely encouragement in your life. I had a gal come out of the 9:30 service. She goes, Pastor, I want to go deeper with you, you know, because as a result of this sermon. And she gave me one of the most profound compliments that I've ever heard in my life. And it was deep, like it cut right to my heart. You know, guys don't cry. It's Father's Day, right? But the reality is it hits you. There's something about going just a little bit deeper, getting through the superficiality of everything and getting to the heart. And Jesus was a master at this. He always saw things in people that they didn't see in themselves. He could always see what they could become, who they could become, and he sees the same things in us. He praised and encouraged them to the point where they thought they could take on the world, and they did. As an example of that, there was a guy named Simon. You may have heard of him. He's in the Bible. For those who knew Simon, he was a big mouth, clumsy, impulsive, spontaneous fisherman, right? But Jesus looked at him one day, and he says, I'm not going to call you Simon anymore. I'm going to call you Peter. Petros, the rock, right? He was the first Rocky. And I'm sure for his buddies, he's looking at that and he's thinking, I don't know about the rock. Pebbles, maybe, sandy, I'm sure, but I don't know about the rock, right? And if you knew Peter, you just wouldn't assimilate rock with him, at least not at the beginning. But as you go through Scripture, as you get into the letters, you see an incredible maturity that took place. The Bible calls him one of the pillars of the church. And here's the cool thing. He became what Jesus saw in him. And I tell you, that's what we need to do too. That's the leadership part of this. We need to not only get deeper, but believe in people to the point where we bring out their best and not their worst. We're not doing that in our culture today. But good leaders can bring out the best in people, encourage them in the ways that they can take on the world. But how do you surround yourself with people that you know are going to help you live the life that God wants you to lead? And how can you be the people that God wants you to be to help others do the same thing? I'm going to give you one point, but I think it's a strategic point as we go through this. I'm going to say start cultivating the relationships that you have. Instead of always saying, I got to find new people, and there's certain cases where you just might. There's people that are bringing you down on a regular basis, and sometimes it's important to find new vehicles for your time. But the reality is that in most cases, God's entrusted you already with people that you could take those existing relationships deeper. Instead of just pretending that they're significant, actually treat them like they're significant. Instead of just pretending that there's authentic love, really go after it. That's what the Bible says. In Romans 12, it says, don't just pretend you love other people, really love them. I think a lot of us, a lot of the time, are just pretending as we're going through life. Pretending we love people, pretending we care. But just don't pretend, God says, go after it. I asked people this week, and I was off, so some of these people are my family, right? But I asked people, why do you keep things at a superficial level in your relationships? Why do you do it? And one of my daughters says, because it's super, right? The word's right in it, superficial. And I said, she was kidding, I think. But the reality is, most of the answers I got back were simply, because it takes time. It takes inordinate amounts of time to get past the superficial and just to get deep with people, and I just don't have it. I'll give you some of the quotes that I got. Every 2 years or within my job, I change departments, or I'm moving every 2 years. Another guy said, my kids are on a soccer team, and I just begin to connect with the parents, and then all of a sudden, once I get to know him, I'm on a new soccer team with my kid because he's doing something else, and there's a whole new set of parents that I got to get to know. Things just change so much in my life. It's hard to know if it's worth it to go deeper. Anybody resonate with that sentiment at all? But my response to them was, so what, right? Bloom where you're planted. I kind of like that phrase. It may only be for a season of your life, but take them deeper so that God can bring out what he wants to bring out from relationship. There's a reason there's that person in your life in the first place. Cultivate where you already are. How? And here's the key. By being open. People who have deep friendships can be extroverts, they can be introverts, they can be young, they can be old, they can be wealthy, they can be poor, they can be good-looking, they can be not good-looking, right? But the one thing that they all have in common is that they're open, they are transparent, they allow other people to see what's actually going on inside. And is there a risk in that? Absolutely, that's the faith part. But if you can't be open, you're going to stay at that superficial level for the rest of your life. So another thing to ask is questions. How do I cultivate these relationships? And go beyond the question, like, how are you doing? Go deeper with those things. Heard about a story of a guy who wanted to improve his marriage. Apparently he heard this message and he was really motivated by it, right? So he goes home, he's got the flowers, he's got the chocolates, he's got a list of questions he wants to ask his wife to take things deeper, right? To really get to just make it a special and really get to know each other and just, I mean, he was so excited. He opens up the door and his wife starts crying. What's going on? Oh, she says, it's been a terrible day. The bus broke down and I had to take the kids to school. The washing machine broke down. Bobby broke his ankle after school. I had to take him to the emergency room. Everything's been going wrong. And then you come home drunk. Now, I share that for this reason. When you actually start taking the risk to take things deeper, to spend the time actually getting to past the surface, where you're digging down into people's lives and getting to know what their hopes and fears and dreams are, where you're exposing yourself to that same kind of stuff, Some of your friends are going to think you're loaded, right? Or they're going to think something's wrong. But keep at it. Because that's absolutely what you need to do to take those relationships deeper in your life. And then I have one last thing I want to share with you. It's probably the most important thing I'll say to you all day. But I want you to know that if you're here today, you are precious to God. Doesn't matter what you've done, when he sees you, he smiles at you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what people have done to you, what you've done to other people. You are precious in God's sight. And to say, Mark, I'm not so much concerned if you become religious, but I am concerned if you have a relationship with God or not. I want you to know him, because a relationship with God is such a big deal, because a relationship with God looks like everything that we've just talked about. There is so much loneliness. There is so much dysfunction in our world in terms of relationships right now. You've got to know that there is one that is always there for you, that cares so much about what you're going through. I want to encourage you today to start opening up to him, to start becoming vulnerable to the one who made you, to the one that's loved you from the very beginning. And as evidence of that, he did one of the hardest things anybody could ever do when he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to die for your sins so that you could be reconciled with God, so that you could have this kind of relationship that he talks about, because he wants that relationship more than anything. He wants a relationship where he can tell you that you matter, that he's here all the time, and that he loves you so much. He wants to tell you that there's hope and that you don't have to go through this life all by yourself all the time. And he wants to share those things in a way that you hear it and in a way that you feel it. He wants you to know that you're loved. He wants to have this kind of relationship with you. And I promise you, if you let him, he'll change your life. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. And we feel, I think, oftentimes, not having these relationships in our life that we can just open up and be us. Where people love us despite our hang-ups, despite our problems, despite our mess-ups. And if we have those people, we cling to them with all our God. Or let me just encourage to value them in ways that you've never valued them before. Because in that kind of relationship, we get a glimpse of God's love. We get a glimpse of his forgiveness because they stick with us even through our blunders. We get a sense of his compassion as they sit with us for hours going over our struggles. We get a sense of his wisdom as they say things that maybe open up our eyes in ways like we never thought before. Father, we pray that you'd help us take our relationships in our lives, especially the guys, I'm just going to say it, but you'd help us take it a little bit deeper, that you'd give us the strength, the courage to take those risks. And then, Father, I pray that you help us be the people that can make others better around us through our care, through our encouragement, and through our love. Father, today we thank you for the love that you give us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.